Welcome to the Sean Steele Personal Injury Teleconference. Today's special guest is Dr. Lukovich. As always, you're encouraged to press the number one during the course of the call to ask Mr. Steele and Dr. Lukovich a question. Mr. Steele, your call is now live.
Doctors, welcome aboard. This is the best time of the month. We love doing these. We bring some superstars to spend just a half an hour. We try to keep this efficient to the bone. Today, we have something that's radically different, but it really impacts every doctor's practice, and it's going to impact every doctor's practice for years to come. In a nutshell, we're going to keep this entire discussion to 30 minutes. We end exactly on time. We'll have it on the Sean Steele website so that you can actually listen to it at another time as well. So that's so if you lose parts of the conversation, you're going to be able to retrieve it or actually suggest it to other doctors. Gary Lukovich is one of my favorite docs of all time. He's a practicing doctor. He actually sees patients, but at the same time, he's a guru. And he thinks about personal injury in every context. That's why he's in charge of the personal injury department for the California Chiropractic Association. He's the go-to guy. He studies every nuance of personal injury, and in our monthly newsletter, PR email alert, we send it out nowadays, we're sending it out twice a month. We use a lot of Gary's forms, his information, his booklets, and his ideas. But today is the post-audit review, the post-payment audit. Here's my experience on this. I started discovering this years ago when doctors would get a letter from the federal government saying, hey, you've been charging Medicare. You've charged these fees, in the last 2 years, and we need to look at your records. And the doctors would be flummoxed with this, didn't know what it meant. And then later on, there could be criminal penalties. There could be massive financial penalties. There'd be hiring lawyers. And it was quite severe. We'd never seen that. Not just chiropractors, medical doctors and medical facilities. And then it got reduced. Then the insurance company started discovering this device. And my favorite story, and I'll just have one, a friend of mine that does this kind of work as a lawyer full-time, the doctor typically would get a generic letter from an ordinary insurance company saying, hey, we're just doing a routine audit. We'd like to look at, six of your files in the last 2 years involving payment to you. Now, that's kind of odd. They already paid the bill. Why do they want to look at it? So the doctors say, oh, well, no big deal. I'll copy the files and, the records, the charts, and the billing and send it to the insurance company. And that would be the end of it, he would think. 2 years later, 18 months later, they'd get a letter saying, based upon our examination of our payments to you, we have overpaid you substantially, not on the six files, but all the files that we've been paying you on. And therefore, we've come to a calculation that you owe XYZ Insurance Company $130,000, and we expect payment this Friday by 5 o'clock. The doctor would see this letter and say, what the heck's going on? What are you talking about? Where did I overbill? Then it's too late. He hires a lawyer. That costs a lot of money. And he starts the big battle against the insurance company. Well, Gary's going to explain how that happens, the history of that happening, and what to do about it so you never have that nightmare. It's tough enough getting paid. It's worse when you have to pay them back. Dr. Lukovich, what's going on?
Well, Sean, thanks for the introduction. And you've covered a lot of topics in the first couple of minutes, but there have been more audits the last 10, 12 years, and there's a reason for it. It's not anyone's imagination. They're getting increasingly prevalent. And something happened in healthcare, back in 2010, we call it the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. It hasn't been affordable and it's been a lot of other problems for a lot of people. But one of the things that came with this change in the law was enormous oversight. The Health and Human Services via the Office of the Inspector General was tasked with doing what they first call routine profession audits. And so each of the professions, chiropractic, general practitioners, orthopedists, dentists, everybody else, anyone who had Medicare, who took Medicare, they're going to see, well, let's see how these doctors do when we get their records in terms of supporting the care that they rendered to these people that were paying for all these millions and billions of dollars. Well, this is what they found. Over a period of years, they did it. But in 2015, it was especially telling. The improper payment rate for chiropractic services was 51.7% of all the money But 52% of all the money spent on chiropractic services by Medicare was deemed not medically necessary. And when they reviewed the records, they got statistics that were incredibly high. They were showing that chiropractic records were failing the record audits. This is without any financial penalty or anything else. They just seeing how these people did. And we were in the 90% or higher for a number of years. And it's still pretty high on just failing to meet the requirements for medical necessity in Medicare in 2013.
So we're not talking about billing. We're talking about justifying treatment?
Justifying treatment, yeah. We'll get into the billing here in a second because that's where it gets really bad. And in 2015, almost 99% of all denied chiropractic claims. So if it was denied in Medicare, it happened 99% of the time for one of two reasons, either no documentation or insufficient documentation. Now, Medicare has some pretty different, pretty high standards for documentation. And if you missed any of the little boxes, that was a failure. So it's a little bit skewed in the way they did it. But there was such a public outcry, Sean. No longer was it just a matter about monitoring docs and see how they're doing and presenting a report to Health and Human Services. The news services found out about this, and they go, well, what are we paying these docs for? Especially, why are we paying the chiropractors at all if they have such a high failure rate? And so rather than kick chiropractic out or kick other professions out of Medicare, they turned up the notch on their what the audits meant. So no longer was it just reviewing the profession as a whole, doing like a profession audit. They were going after seeing how individual doctors did. And suddenly, laws that were once applied only to like government defense contracts for abuses and fraud now started to be applied to healthcare. And so now suddenly, and besides paying the money back, you had fines, penalties, interest charges, investigation costs, your own personal legal expenses, state board sanctions, loss of ability to treat Medicare and other health insurance patients, and possibly jail time.
Now, look, I'm a chiropractic lawyer. My concern in life is to make sure chiropractors are treated fairly because I grew up in a chiropractic household. I know what my mother went through. It sounds like they're picking on the chiropractors. It just smells that way. Tell me it's not.
No, it is true, because one thing that has changed is they're still coming after and hammering chiropractors, okay? They still are. But what they did is, for medical doctors, they said, okay, we're doing something different now, because the medical doctors had a lot more money, had a lot more means of fighting back, and they kind of did so collectively. So now
they take 90% of the money.
No, it's not about the money to them. It's about appearances. So what happened is they actually got the Health and Human Services to say, okay, from now on, we're going to focus on educating the medical doctors. We're not going to focus on fines and penalties. That didn't apply to chiropractors. It's still coming after chiropractors. It's totally unfair. I agree. I've talked to them about it, and they said, look, you guys are doing so poorly, you got to show us a lot more improvement before we're even going to take you seriously. So here's what happened.
Wow.
Between 2012 and 2019, Health Human Services started paying for audits, and they increased the amount they spent on audits 16% during that period, up to $420 million per year, each year, for just doing audits on the profession, okay?
Or just chiropractors?
Everybody.
But we were a big focus because
we were an easy target, Sean. They never released how much of this money was spent on chiropractors versus other types of professions.
Was the government getting their money back? In other words, would they do an audit? Oh, okay.
Listen to this. Medicare audits alone provide a return on investigation costs. So for every $1 they spent on investigations during this time period, they get $5 to $8 back in a very short period of time. You can't get that type of interest at the bank, Sean.
Oh, that's what I want. No, seriously. If that's true and they're actually squeezing money out of chiropractors, that's got to make them the greatest target in history.
Well, it does.
That's bad.
And we're not the only ones they went after, but chiropractors is a very easy target.
Wow.
Medicare only pays for a few – they only pay for manipulation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A few levels of manipulation. So it makes it a very easy target because a lot of chiropractors are documenting what they did or justifying what they did.
Mm.
So any time – now, how does this affect the auto industry and the other insurances? Well, you don't have to be a genius, Sean, to look at this and say 5 to 800% return over less than a year's time. That's an incredible return by any standard. Any standard. So, of course, the executives are going to say, but we can do this too. And that's what they started doing. They started going after things in personal injury.
Can I just tell you, you got so much information, so much knowledge. Look, as a personal injury attorney, I don't see the post-payment audits yet. Now, I've seen some fraud cases. AAA has been really doubled down. Allstate did a bunch of RICO cases. But that's just classic fraud, where the accidents are totally made up. The treatment was bogus. They got enormous penalties against the chiropractors. There's just a big bust in Texas, same kind of thing. You got kickbacks for surgery. So I see the kickbacks, the old-fashioned fraud, the phony accident, the non-existent patient stuff, but I haven't seen a traditional PI case where there's customary, you know, chiropractic care that a couple of years later there's a big fat audit. And just because it's an ordinary case, they would argue that it wasn't documented, or they would argue that it was, you know, the billing was too high. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm going to get into that in just a second. And that's a great question, because I've defended a few of those cases. And even when you win, Sean, you've already spent $100,000 to $200,000 in legal fees. I'm not kidding. I had no idea.
Who could afford that? Who could afford that?
Well, you mortgage your house, okay?
Oh.
That's what ends up happening. So another chiropractor, is there more than one type of audit? And this speaks to the question you just asked. Well, the basic billing audit is what they used to do. Hey, look, we checked here. Looks like you billed it properly. We want, you know, $140 back, and then it all goes away. That's the way they used to do it, okay?
Right.
It's real simple and accurate. Then they switched. There's another thing called a survey audit, and it's kind of what you were talking about. This is where a person, it's done by phone, or a person drops by your office and says, I'm just checking on what you charge, okay? This one seems pretty innocuous, but the person may be getting evidence to possibly hurt the doctor later on, because you really can't technically have two fee schedules, okay? That's against the law. Now, the California State Board does allow, by statute, to have a lower a charge for a given service if it's paid at the time. Okay, that's supposed to be incentive. You're paying right now. You don't have to wait for billing. You don't have to deal with insurance company. You don't have to send records. If they pay at the time, you can give them a lesser charge. But the California Business Professional Code also says that does not apply to Medicare or Medi-Cal cases, so you can't give them a discount there. Some of the people that need it most, you can't give a discount to. It's an absurd system.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the survey
yeah.
audit. Now, the next one up this thing is called Internet Search. So look on the Internet, and you can see which doctors are using Groupon and Living Social, that type of program where a doctor basically is, you know, advertising some type of discount through these different social media sites, and they help direct people to you, and the more people they send to you, the more money they get. Well, you have to be really careful. You're walking a very thin, slippery line there, because that could be construed as fee splitting. So I always advise docs, if they're doing anything like that, check with get some solid legal advice to make sure the way it's structured, you're not setting yourself up for investigation just for that purpose. Now, the profile audit, this is the thing you're kind of talking about.
Ooh.
This is where they will look at how does your billing habits compare with other local doctors. Does your documentation have a higher than normal failure rate? Do you frequently bill a large number of codes on a given day? Do you have you bill for certain treatment codes much more frequently than others, and same with exams. If your profile is flagged, the auditors will view the doctor as being sloppy or incompetent or corrupt or all of the above. Whatever that applicable adjective is, though, these auto auditors want to go after you because they see you then as an easy target. So by the profile, they can tell who's going to be an easy mark. They don't want guys that are really smart and bright with a lot of funds. They're going to waste a lot of time and money on those guys. They want guys who are people, doctors, who are easy targets. And the one you really hit hard was the series audit. It's called a series audit. And I've seen a couple of these from Allstate, from Geico, where they come in, and then when they find a doctor billing inappropriately, for something that, you know, 3 years didn't go by before they billed for a new exam again, okay? Or they billed for 3 to 4 areas of manipulation when the patient only had complaints in 1 to 2 areas. Okay, when they see that type of stuff, they say, okay, we'll just hold on and wait. We'll start going back in the files because they keep the records. You send in your records, they don't get shredded. All of them get scanned and put into the computer so they know what you're doing. So they have it in there. They pull up Dr. X. They say, hey, wait a second. He not only did this last month, he did it with the case 4 months ago, a year ago, 3 years ago, whatever it is. They say, oh, my gosh, this guy is always doing this. So by the series audits of looking at your past records, they suddenly show up and they say, you talk about a demand. they're going to extrapolate going back and all the times they dealt with you saying, we just discovered this, so the statute of limitations doesn't apply, we're just learning of it now, and this is what our extrapolation says, this is our demand for immediate payment, otherwise all hell's going to break loose. And the other thing they do with these, Sean, is they have the right by the contract with the patient, or they're insured, to contact the patient directly and say, hey, your doctor is being investigated by our special investigation unit, and we need your assistance in answering a few questions about your treatment at the doctor's office. So now the patients get involved, and right away they're not going to start thinking very highly of the chiropractor at that point, because they
anybody
think
under investigation is guilty, period.
That's what they think. That's the thing. And the other thing that can happen, and sometimes this happens as a result of any of the previous types of audits I discussed, with the state board. The state board itself can do an audit investigation, and they're required by law. If you're accused of some type of fraud, insurance fraud, they're required. They're mandated. They don't have to investigate it. Okay, and those can be horrendous things to go through, too, because the doctor almost has to prove he's innocent in those types of situations. Sometimes those things almost amount to a kangaroo court. And a lot of the evidence has already been gathered for them prior by other types of audits or done that just then handed over to the state board. It's like the final nut on the barrel. And so what they can do, they can not only make you pay for all the stuff we talked about earlier, but they have the right to take your license away, either temporarily or permanently. So some of the effects of these audits can result in very draconian type of outcomes. And they are increasing, and a lot of docs aren't even aware of them until it happens. By the time it happens, it's too late. So I tell docs, you've got to start, you know, practicing a lot more defensively and thinking that they could be watching me. They could have been watching me for the last 3 or 4 years, and they just want to get enough information, enough data to make it bulletproof, so it's impossible to just say, you know, that was a one-time error. That was a one-off thing. I don't usually do that. When they have 40 cases, they then slap on your desk and say, well, what about all these then? So the other question
give me a micro example. Just one of your recent cases. How were you hired? When did you get in? And who hired you?
Well, the attorney, the most recent one, the attorney contacted me because they were very concerned about the total amounts. I mean, they were asking literally for hundreds of thousands of dollars back. And the retainer alone in the case was $50,000 that the attorney wanted up front. He was well-trained in this type of stuff, but he knows it's very extensive, and if the doctor doesn't have the money as a commitment, they don't want to get halfway down the road. You know, they know these things. It's a lot of things that, you know, it's a lot of depositions sometimes. It's a lot of meetings that they have to do and go over stuff. They have to talk with other specialists. They have to look at every line. Every line, literally, go through it. And Sean, I think one of your seminars, in fact, I'm going to make available to the docs a few different handouts they can get from you about audits and things to look, things to check, and how they go about finding these things. You know, they're really, really clever in how they can use computers. And the thing to know is, what do these audits actually accomplish for the auto insurance company? Well, a number of things. Allows them to not just be the bad guy. They don't really want that look. But they allows them to get money back. In PI cases, return on investment is only $3 for every dollar invested. So that's still pretty darn good. Not quite as good as Medicare, but $3 for one invested in less than a year is a pretty good return.
Oh, it's the best deal in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be foolish. I don't understand why they wouldn't audit every single chiropractor.
Well,
I mean, it sounds like free money.
They have to have a pretty good reason because they, you know, their investigation costs, if they don't get anything to show for it, you know, that's the average. It looks pretty bad for a person to do it. So really, like I said, they want to go after weak targets. They know what to look for. And I'm going to cover that in just a second here, but they also, these audits can do some good things. They can actually get rid of some of the true abusers. Every profession has people that know they're doing the wrong thing. You alluded to that earlier when we talked about docs and no link committing fraud, et cetera. Those people should be out of the profession. And these audits do accomplish that as well. But they also make the public alert to watch out for medical fraud. When these things start happening, they get published, or the DA's out there talking about the doctor or medical doctor who was arrested for some of this stuff, it really makes them stand up and say, I better check my insurance statements now, and they can make sure that he really did do what he said he did. And I think you might be aware of this. In Medicare, and now some other places as well, according to the False Claims Act, this is what it actually says on the government website. whistleblowers, people, you know, who turn in people for doing the wrong thing. It's usually a former employee or a disgruntled employee or a patient that's mad about something. They can get a reward of 15% to 25% of what the government collects in total based on your report of fraud. So if they collect $100,000, you can get $15,000 to $25,000 for making a phone call.
Wow, I love it.
Yeah,
and, that's the kind of crazy stuff that I don't like about the government or about this type of post audit. This is abusive. This is trying to stamp out fraud. And I got to put in a plug right now. And not for me. Doctors, anytime you get one of these innocuous-looking letters from any insurance company or any authority, says, hey, we just want to do a routine audit, we want to look at your stuff, the alarm bell should go up, call Dr. Gary, call me, but get yourself, and I'm going to recommend maybe two or three attorneys that actually know this stuff. If you bite it, take care of it early, you're talking about a few $1,000s. If you let it fester, they do a full audit. They got the proof lined up. Then it's going to cost you that huge check at the end to defend yourself. So whenever you think you got a potential a problem on the line, nip it in the bud. I'm sure you agree with me on that, Gary.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I say nip it in the bud, not even give them a chance to audit you by doing things right in the first place.
Well, there, of course.
One of the things, I'll give you a sheet of the things they look for, and I'll show you. There's a thing that they use. There's a special type of program they use, and I talked at one of your seminars about it. I may cover it again next time I do your PI seminars up in L.A., which every doc who does PI should be taking these things. It's the best things I've ever seen. That's why I sit through the 8 hours, because I always learn stuff, and I've been doing this for over 35 years. But one thing that they do is they take your billing and they put it through a program, and it looks for patterns. Is this too high-level exam? Are they billing too frequently for an exam? Are they billing for 3 to 4 areas when we only have 2 diagnoses? Or the patient only had complaints in one area and they're billing for 4 areas of complaint? That type of stuff, those billing programs can flag real, real easily. They don't even have to look at much of the rest of your notes to see if it, unless it just makes sure it corresponds with the billing. But what they do then do that, it'll spit it out and say, this is what you investigate. And look at past files, see if he's doing the same thing. If so, man, those things are really, really hard to fight. Those are hard to fight. A couple of cases I've been involved with, one in particular, the doc had no idea that they were doing something illegal.
I think that's a vast majority. If you know you're a crook, you don't need to be told that. But I think most of the guys and gals are doing it completely innocent. Now, tell me, give me your best case, because you've got dozens of these. And frankly, this is an area of expertise I did not know until today you were good at. I'm embarrassed. I know that you're a PI guru, but this is a big deal. And very few docs are experts. What services do you render, and how did you help your last doctor?
Well,
you have to show things you show things were actually customary and reasonable, or
a couple
here?
Ways to go about this. It depends on what type of things they found, but if it's a typical type of things I've talked about, there's a couple ways of hoping to defend this, or at least get it from fraud to abuse. Abuse is different than fraud. Fraud is knowingly doing something to get financial gain that you know is wrong, okay? Whereas abuse is unknowingly doing something wrong. So it's a big difference in the charges and the fines going from fraud to abuse. That's one thing it's always going to try. Then negotiating, give the let's get reasonable. Like the doctor can afford to give you this versus this. But besides that, Sean, besides PI, I also do malpractice defense and some of this type of work. But these type of cases are by far the hardest to defend, because they don't want to waste money, and they get so many examples of it, you don't have a lot of ways to wiggle right away from these things, okay? And so you try to look at and things you can defend. So, he really didn't benefit financially, the doctor, because his exam for this, his re-exam fee versus his new exam fee that he mistakenly charged are virtually identical, okay? So in reality, there wasn't a financial benefit from that. Or the other thing is the doctor, was doing his best. He didn't realize he had seen the patient, 2 years and 11 months ago. Had it been 1 month more, that it would have been a new exam. and the patient may have only had complaints in one of the two areas. But
yeah, but that's one bill. That's just one time only.
No. Now getting to the exam. Well, that have they bill. You know, you do repeated exams, et cetera. But or two high level exams, they'll bill for a one level exam that's higher than they couldn't possibly do. A comprehensive exam, which virtually no chiropractor ever does in PI. In the highest level exam, that stuff like that's going to get flagged. But they go after simple things like the, like I said, the manipulation, billing for 3 to 4 areas when the patient only came in and complained of neck and upper back pain. Well, maybe your customary practice to build, adjust the entire spine, but that's not what the auto insurance has to pay for. They if the patient came in and had complaints in the neck, say, neck and upper back, well, you can bill for the 1 to 2 areas of manipulation, no problem. You said billing 3 to 4, you've got to have certain things present in order to do that. You know, if you want to bill for 3 to 4 areas of the spine, you have to have complaints in those areas. You have to have an exam covering those areas. You have to have diagnoses for 3 to 4 areas and then adjust 3 to 4 areas. Then you could do it. But a lot of the cases you go after, or it may, say it goes through treatment, Sean, they're a month in the care and they no longer have back pain. Maybe originally they had 3 to 4 areas of the spine involved, but now it's just the neck. Things have gotten better. Your treatment's working. So the docs sometimes keep reflexively adjusting 3 to 4 areas when the patient no longer has complaints there.
We got 4 minutes remaining because we keep our promises, doctor. Give me 2 or 3 of the most obvious errors that you don't want to do that doctors here can walk away with. I should not be treating a body part that no longer has complaint. That would be one, right?
Well, that would be a big one, that right there, because that's one thing that's so easy to flag. That shows up all the time. The other thing is if your billing, submitted billing does not match your progress notes, okay? I always tell people when we are at this office, we always will look at the progress notes and check the billing to make sure everything adds up 100%. Because when it doesn't, it flags it. So you don't want to give any reason to flag it because then they start looking. And if you look hard enough at any doctor's record, you're probably going to find something that isn't 100% right. Okay? It's just the way it is. I mean, it's hard to be perfect all the time. Right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you're the only guy I know that's pretty much perfect all the time, but docs, we're not that lucky.
That hasn't happened in a long time. But the key thing is, one, don't be treating for body parts where the patient tells you in your own notes that they're okay. What's another thing?
I have a sheet I'll give out. Sure. Here's another one. No written documentation of the findings when a person does X-ray. A lot of docs will take X-rays, and they have no written documentation of what they found. Yeah.
No way. Are you kidding? Who would do that?
Sean, I do a lot of review of records, and I see that probably more often than not.
Doctors, please send those X-rays on PI cases to your local DAC bar. You get $1 million malpractice insurance. They write poetry, and you've got a bunch of great codes that you're going to be able to use to justify your care. But if you don't have any report on your X-rays,
let's talk about another one here. How about this? On certain procedures, they're time-based. Therapeutic exercise, ultrasound, et cetera, with basically constant attendance. Well, in order to meet the 8-minute threshold to get the first 15 minutes of, say, a myofascial release, you have to document the time. So in your record, you may put myofascial release or ultrasound, but you should put the time next to it. Otherwise, you're not substantiating how much time you spent doing that. You see?
That seems pretty
obvious. All these things are in the avoiding the audits. I'm going to send that to you. I'll send you 3 sheets, and then you can have it sent out to whoever wants it. Okay, free of charge.
We're going to make this our big feature. Of course, the trouble is that Lukovich not only does he give away a lot of material, which for free, and with a lot of brain work and intelligence and well sourced, because I'm a hypercritic myself, but he also puts right on the paper, it's no copyright protection as long as you don't use it yourself commercially, but you use it for your personal services. That's why Gary's my favorite guru. In fact, he's probably my only guru. I used to tell people, and I'll close with this, that Gary's not a normal guy. He actually wears a chiffon robe and lives on top of a monastery in the hills of San Diego. And who else but somebody that's very disciplined, self-sacrifice, would actually go through this and have this endless perfect bounty of information? I'm going to take your 3-sheet 20 things not to do to avoid an audit, save yourself, frankly, not just a ton of money, it's the emotional disturbance and the disruption of your personal life that I think is most costly of all. And so that's what I'm going to ask, and I'm going to feature that in our next PI email alert, and that's going to be a standard sheet that I think we all ought to know about. Dr. Gary Lukovich, I really appreciate it. Doctors, I'm sorry that we talked too fast to even give you a chance to answer or ask a question. What I'm going to ask you to do is email me, SeanSteele@SeanSteele.com, and I'm going to get your questions answered. Gary, if anybody needs to reach you for any reason, what's the name of your clinic and what's your phone number?
I'll give you the office phone. It's just, you know, here's how you reach me the easiest. Just contact me at 760-744-1881, or you can email me at Lukovich, my last name, LEWKOV at Cox.net. Lukovich@Cox.net. If you contact me, have a question, or you go to the CCA portal. If you're CCA members, you go through the portal, I'll give you a written answer, I'll get back to you, always within 24 hours with an answer. If I don't know, I'll tell you where to get the answer.
Well, keep in mind, doctors, that's why we have a California Chiropractic Association, now conveniently called CalChiro. Doctors, thanks for joining us. We'll be doing this again in another month. Next time, we think we're going to have an insurance adjuster that's going to tell us the secrets of the universe. So more on that later. Dr. Gary, thank you. We'll have you again very soon.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Good day.
Bye now.